Good morning. Good morning, saints. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And once again, we are excited for another day of grace, another day which the Lord has extended his long-suffering, and he's merciful, and another chance that we can maybe share the grace of God out to a lost and dying world. We'll be singing number 37. In your book, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. 24. Let's sing three verses. 1, 2, and 3 this morning, okay? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything in Christ in prayer. What a God and fall. Oh, what needless pain to bear, all because we cannot carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's sing number 4 instead. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou will all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, he bring all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright unclouded, there will none hope I go bear. Rapture, praise, and destruction will be our safe portion. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. We're in Genesis chapter 12, but we left off this lesson 54. Yeah. If you remember last week, we was talking about the Abrahamic covenant and was confirmed not only to Abraham, but who else is it confirmed to? We left off last week. When you look at the Hebrew people and the Jewish people, who are their fathers?
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah. So last week we looked a little bit about he confirmed it in Isaac, and it's also confirmed in Jacob. And then it was confirmed in the 12 tribes of Israel. And we need to see that. He says, I'm not only the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. What he's saying is, I am the God that made the covenant with Abraham and confirmed in Isaac and treated Isaac just like he treated Abraham. He's got the same promises. Be turning to Genesis, hold your finger in Genesis chapter 12, but go to Genesis chapter 26. And He knows this, and if you know what were your scripture or the Bible, you know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the fathers of the Hebrew people. Also, you know Abraham's the father of who? Islamic people or Muslim people or Arab. Well, basically, yeah, everyone. But Genesis chapter 26, verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him, that would be Isaac, okay, and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I sware unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thee, excuse me, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. So when you read that expression, in thy seed all the nations of the earth be blessed, that is the very essential of the what covenant? Abrahamic covenant. And it was confirmed in Isaac, and it belonged to Isaac as much as it belonged to Abraham. Imagine that. Your seed as the stars of the heavens and that type of thing. Go to Genesis chapter 27. Notice that Isaac gives it to who? Who does Isaac give the blessings to?
Jacob.
Not Esau. You know the story about Jacob's mama wanted to go to her boy, not Esau. Both of them was her boy, but he wanted the younger one, right? She loved Jacob and that type of thing. The only man, supposedly, the only man in the Word of God that goes on his feelings is right here in this passage as we're going to look at. Now, what do we know about feelings? They change, yeah. Do you make decisions based on feelings? I guarantee you in our lifetime we have. You know, we let our emotions decide that. Now, emotions is like a roller coasters. You know, you go up here and then you start down. And if you make decisions based on a roller coaster ride, we're going to be in bad shape. But the clearest example of going by your feelings, I just feel right, is this guy right here we're getting ready to talk about. Do you know what he did? He was deceived. Do you remember? You remember that? Jacob was deceived, wasn't he? He says, you smell like who?
Esau.
Genesis 27, verse 27. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Now, he's deceived. You smell like who? You feel like him? But his voice is of who? Jacob. He's deceived. And that's what's going on in verse 27 we just read. But he is in error here. You would think. What did he say? The smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath what? What do you find out? What do you remember back in Genesis chapter 3? The field, the earth. Yeah. Remember? Was the earth cursed or blessed after the garden, fall of man? Okay. Hold your finger there, but something, when I see this, the God's curse, what do you know about Noah? What do you remember what Noah's name was? What does it mean? Go to chapter 5 of Genesis. Hold your finger and get chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. I'm going to see how well y'all do on this the end of the Genesis test when I give you every one of them.
It's an open book.
Yeah, it will be an open book test. Genesis chapter 5, verse 29. What do we know about Genesis chapter? What do we call chapter 5 is known as what?
Death chapter.
Death chapter. 5 is division and all that stuff. And he called, verse 29, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath what? You see that? So Noah, see, y'all can help me out here, if anybody listening or whatever. Noah's name is the what?
Comforter.
Why? Because God had cursed the earth. So if God's cursed the earth, then here comes Noah. Noah gets on the ark, steps out on a new world. Is the earth still cursed?
Yes.
We always say yes. But I'm thinking, what did Jacob just say? The Lord had blessed the smell of his field. So when you do a little bit more searching, go to Genesis chapter 3 and get Genesis chapter 4. When he says, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. That's what you just read, right? And Noah's going to comfort us. He's going to comfort us because the ground's cursed. That because, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face, not the sweat of the brow that we always talk about, this is the right terminology, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Because of that, right? Because of what Adam did, the ground is cursed. Now go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. While thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, a fugitive and vagabond, shall thou be in the earth. Now, who's he talking about there? Cain. What does he say about the earth? Why, until thou wilt kill us, it's not going to bring anything to him, right? Now, we know what the mark of Cain is. He's not going to produce anything out of that ground. That's what he lived for. So, I see that, and I think about Noah's name, and then you read what we just read back there. We go to Genesis 27 again. And the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. So in your own little studies and stuff, think about that. Did it change when Noah was born? Did it change when the earth was washed? Did it change when he stepped out on the field? You know for a fact you step out there, if you don't take care of your garden, what takes over? Thorns and thistles and stuff like that. So we still, the cursed creation is still out there. Got to be. They put when they put that thorns on the Lord Jesus Christ, they were saying, here's your creation. That type of thing. Go back to Genesis chapter 27, verse 28. Therefore God gave thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. And let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. And let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Curse by every one that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. There's an Abrahamic covenant confirmed by Isaac to who? Jacob. And you say that Jacob deceived his way unto that. You can say yes, right. But Isaac was doing the right thing, and he may have been doing it for the wrong reasons, but he is doing it the right thing because of Genesis 28, verse 1. You know, if so what we're reading is Isaac was kind of deceived, right, by his wife. Was he supposed to hearken to his wife? What got Adam in trouble too, right? You know, so you think about, okay, Jacob did wrong, but did look at verse 28, chapter 28, verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Wasn't that somebody else did that too? Yeah. Verse 3, and God Almighty blessed thee and made thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessings of Abram to thee and to thy seed with thee, that they mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And he sends him away. Okay? So the blessings go through Jacob, through Isaac. So when you think about the blessings of Abraham came to Jacob, it wasn't a human scheme. You know what I'm talking about? It wasn't like, hey, we're going to give it to Jacob despite what God wants to do.
Right.
So human got out of the situation. Verse 13, God puts Jacob to sleep at Bethel. I'll share this with you right quick. The blessings. What did he say? If you bless those who bless thee, I curse those who curse you. In our mind, in the Christianity or Christendom, if you don't mind me saying that, we have always believed that you have to bless who? To get what? Blessings of God. This week, I got to share this with you. This week, I'm at the Travel Plaza in Pennsylvania where I stayed. I get up, I go again, get me something to eat, and I notice a whole van of Jewish people in the van. The whole van, and they're sitting there drinking, you know, eating food and stuff. And I'm watching the guy a little bit. I walk inside, went to the restroom, stuff came out. There's more Jewish people all over the place, dressed in their, you know, the white suits or white shirt and black and stuff. So I'm sitting there eating a little bit, and I'm like, I want to go talk to these people. Because I'm looking around, I'm walking circumspectly, because here you got a Jewish people, and you know what's going on in the world today. You know, and now you're looking around like, okay, they might something go down here. So I went up to one of them, and he had like five or six kids, about this many. And, yeah, it was huge. And he's standing there, and his wife hands him the baby, and she goes in the restroom. So I'm trying to figure out, what do I say? You know, how do you break the ice? And I'm like, oh, where are y'all going? And he looks at me like, you know, what are you asking? And he goes, we're going to New York. And I said, really? He said, yeah, we're going to New York. We're going to a holiday, and we're going to stay with her family. I said, where are y'all from? He says, we live in Cincinnati. And I'm like, okay. And I said, well, that's when the lady hands the baby to the guy, and she goes in the restroom. And I said, I'm a preacher, and I study the scripture, and we're studying about Abraham and how he was the father of Isaac and Ishmael. Soon as I said Ishmael, that baby threw up all over that guy's coat, and it's white, milky stuff. And he's standing there. I said, let me get you something. He said, no, it'll be okay. I'm thinking, he don't want this Gentile to touch him, you know, that type of thing. And I'm thinking, I didn't have an opportunity to finish my thought with him. But he did say, the world has no common sense. It's either this side or that side. That's what he was sharing about the time when I mentioned Ishmael, that baby threw up all over. Tom was saying. He didn't like that word. But anyway, I wanted the opportunity to share, you know, to see how they feel and all that stuff. But they was going out to holiday. So it made me think, what holiday are they going into? Passover. And it starts tomorrow, and it goes the whole week. So they'll go out to probably wherever they'll stay, and they won't move, will they? They'll do the Passover meals and stuff like that. But I thought that was interesting that you had a chance to say, you know, if I continue to bless you, you know, what do I get out of it? Or even if he knew it. And the next question I was going to ask him, what tribe are they from? You should always ask that just to see if they know. They may not even know. But anyway, getting back to the blessings and stuff, it was just not a human scheme. God said in Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, and this is, this is Jacob, right? And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and what? So which way are they going? If he's on earth, and he sets up the ladder, sets up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of the of God are this ascending and descending. Which way is it going? So what should that tell you?
They're here. They were on the earth.
Where is God's power going to be at? And behold, the Lord stood above it. And said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou layest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thou seed shall be the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is why you can understand the Abrahamic blessing of eternal life. That's how we can say one thing, we can call him Father Abraham. But then those angels are coming from that point up. So that area right there is going to be where God's throne is. He's going to have the earth through Israel have power and government and stuff on the earth. God himself confirms the blessing of to Abraham, to Jacob, apart from deceit and apart from human deceiving. God does it, so it goes to who? Goes to Jacob. Go back to Genesis. Back in Genesis 22, God said to Abraham, that he is going to multiply his seed, that all the kindreds of the earth will be blessed. Get Deuteronomy chapter 1 and Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel saw by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Do you know why God delivered them, Israel, out of Egypt? That's exactly right. Because the covenant he made with Abraham and confirmed it in Isaac and confirmed it in Jacob, and it belonged to the people down in Egypt because they was descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He remembered them. In Exodus chapter 3, God told Moses to take off his shoes because the ground he was standing on is holy ground. God was rebuking Moses for not believing and understanding that God was going to keep his covenant with them. And the whole Exodus is based on the Abrahamic covenant. I remember that time I went to a little Unity conference, they called it, over here at Malone. And the people that got it together was so-called grace believers of different persuasion of that, you know, the Berean Bible Society, the BBI, the GGI, GGF, and all that group. And I went over just to see what they was doing. They wasn't a bunch of, they wasn't but a handful of people there. And a lady was running it, and which was kind of weird anyway, but they had some people there, and they was talking about, you know, healing and stuff like that. And towards the end, she asked everybody, she said, she asked, we need to take our shoes off because we're standing on holy ground. And this is in a conference room over, I'm seriously. And I sit down, and I was about to take my shoes off when another brother sitting over there, he goes, I'm not going to take my shoes off. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, I'm not going to take my shoes. I'll sit and stand and pray with you. So she had us standing all in a circle, and I'm looking around. There's a lot of socked feet there. But I got thinking, she's taking this out of context. The things that people do, even in the grace movement. But look, Deuteronomy chapter 1. What we're talking about here, verse 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and to all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, in the south, and by the sea, to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river of Euphrates. He's telling them to do this, right? Mm-hmm. Whose land is this? Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to the seed after them. Verse 10. Think about this for a minute. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for what? Did he not say that you going? So what does this say? They are. Yes. So I'm thinking, are we still waiting for that? Well, this has already happened, hasn't it? So there isn't any doubt that he's talking to the nation at this point. The multitude of seed of Israel. So that the covenant God made with Abraham is confirmed, and Isaac to Jacob and to the 12 tribes. And the people who are carrying out the provisions of this covenant are the 12 tribes of Israel, not just one group anymore, but the whole 12. You ever think about the number 12 and in government? How many jurors do you usually have? 12. You know there's 12 Federal Reserves across this nation. You know there's 12 hours in the day. There's 12 hours at night. There's 2 and 24 elders.
12 constellations.
So,
am I missing where you read the 12 also? The 12 nations? Like you're saying that he says it's to the nations, and I understand that.
Okay, who... It's not in verse, but who came out of Israel? Did Abraham come out of there? Did Jacob come? They did? Was they?
Abraham,
the covenant went to God. He passed it on to who? Then he passed it on to who?
Jacob.
Then who's in Israel at this time?
Jacob's.
The 12 tribes is multitude. That's how it gets passed on to them. You with me? It don't say in that verse, but that's who he's talking about.
So you're saying, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. So you're
Israel.
Together that 12 tribes.
Yes, ye. Remember thee and thou. Okay. Remember how hard the English language is? Remember how hard the King James Bible is? I can't understand these and thous. Are you using, you know what thee and thou stops with? A T, right? Thee. Ye and you is more. It's a Y. I can say you look good today. Y'all look better. But ye, you know what I'm talking about? So he's saying to the tribes of Israel that's coming out of that bondage, ye are this day. And this covenant, the Palestine covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant are expanded and details are given about them in the scriptures. These covenants are very important for you and I to understand. Go to chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. Basic passages that will deal with them. Palestinian covenant. Deuteronomy 30 develops the land that was promised in Genesis 13 and Genesis 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Exodus. You know, it might be something that you saw Moses lead them out of bondage, right? And he couldn't go into the promised land. He could see it. He couldn't go in there, but you think, where's he? But people say, see, you disobey God, you lose his promise, you lose your salvation. Where's Moses at today? Who was at the Mount of Transfiguration? So, when people say you can lose your salvation, I don't think anybody in the Old Testament lost their salvation. They didn't go in the land literally at that time. You with me? You could lose rewards.
Right, everything has consequences.
So Moses comes out and he can't go in. Who picks up the? So and they don't miss nothing. They're continuing to move on. Verse 1. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come unto thee, the blessings and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I have commanded thee this day, thou and thy children with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's how you worship God. That's how you serve God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul and mind, right? And then, when they turn to the Lord and obey the Lord, then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whether the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out of unto the outposts parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from that thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possess, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above the fathers. Hold your hand there and go to Leviticus chapter 26. It is clear that God has promised that he will bring them back, didn't he? No problem. And Moses is reminding them of the fact that God has made a covenant with them to bring them back. Now, when God talked to Abraham, he said, you're going to go down in a land of strangers. How long did he say they were going to dwell down in there? 400 years. You think God lied? No, he's down there. And the Palestinian covenant is identified and is detailed and it's clear. Verse 5 said, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into thy land. God is doing this. It's an unconditional covenant. And it's based on what he's going to do with the Abrahamic covenant. Leviticus chapter 26. Hold your finger there in Deuteronomy 30 because we're coming back there. Leviticus 26:42. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember what? What's he going to remember? What did you say, brother?
The land.
The land. That's what he's, the covenant is all about, the land. Listen, don't listen. Consider this. What was the promise?
The land.
Where was the land at?
On earth.
Oh, yeah, but where's the future? It's future over there, right? Because you know what that land looks like today.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would want to live in that land over there today. I'd like to go see it. I've been to the Middle East, but I've never been to Israel. Never been to Egypt. Maybe one of these days I will. I'd like to see that stuff. I really would. Oh, anyway, he's going to remember the
land.
He's going to bring them back in the land. It's based on the Abrahamic covenant that they get the land back. And that is what we call the Palestinian covenant. You know, you use that word today. You talk about Palestine, you're talking about, most people don't even know it's about a land. They think it's what? A people. And it gives them the physical dimensions of the land. It's written in agreement from God that God is going to do it. And go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and notice how he's going to do it. We talked about this time and time again. If more people will understand that feud, that family feud's going on there in a way that a dispute, if you had 500 acres and you had a couple kids and you was going to give all that to one kid, you think the other ones would like that? They wouldn't like that. They would fight tooth and nail. You'd be in a lawsuit these days, you know what I mean? But God gave it to a certain group of people. Verse 6, Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love thy God with all thy heart and with all their soul that thou may knowest. Who's going to circumcise the heart?
God.
Are you not circumcised once you believe that Christ Jesus died for your sins and buried him?
Yes.
With the operation of who? Are you not baptized? By what?
Holy Spirit.
And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thy enemies and on them that hateth thee, which persecute thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command this day. Do you know how the Palestinian covenants will be fulfilled? He just said it. What did he say in verse 2? When you obey me, when you return unto me, and when you obey my voice, they're not going to do that on their own. So God says, I'm going to circumcise you. I'm going to cause you to do it. And do you know what that is? What kind of covenant is that? Remember what covenant we're talking about now? Right now? But there. Are, okay, but what do you call this part of the Bible? Old Testament, also known as the Old Covenant. So that was the old covenant. What's going to happen over here is going to be a
new covenant.
So that's what he's talking about. He causes them in Ezekiel 36. Let's see if I can grab that right quick. 36. Get Ezekiel.
Can I ask you a question?
Get Ezekiel chapter 36 right quick. Yes, go ahead. Well, go to get Ezekiel 36 and Jeremiah 31 says that. Get Jeremiah 31 to answer your question. Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36. But think about this. What was required to them in time past that separated them from the Gentiles? And so that circumcision, was that a fleshly thing or a non-fleshly thing? Okay. So that would be an old. So what he's saying, I'm going to circumcise you. Jeremiah, the new covenant, Jeremiah 31 and 36, he says, I will come and I will put my spirit in you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Look at Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Verse 10 says, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doeth his flock. So God is going to do this, that he scattered them. Verse 31, Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days shall come, saith the Lord, that I will renew the old covenant. What does it say? I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the body of Christ and all the Gentiles that scattered abroad, that's far off. With who? The house of Israel and with the house of who?
Judah.
Once again, we're not a covenant people, guys and gals. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. With my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sin. That's Acts 3:19, by the way. When Peter stood up and say, he's forgiven you. So, what group of people out there is walking around saying, I don't have to tell you about the Lord. I know the Lord. How many groups of people out there you run into every day and knows the Lord that like this is saying? None. But who's he talking to? So there's going to be a new covenant over there based out of this Abrahamic covenant that he's going to put in their inward parts. Go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 23. Everybody there, you got to see this.
Yeah.
Verse 23. Ezekiel 36, 23. And I will sanctify my great name. Let's go to 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. Listen, Israel ain't no different than you and I today. They ain't no different than a bunch of Gentiles out there. Why? Because God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them up politically over there. And he's going to give them a chance. Saying what he's saying.
Right.
See, God made a promise to you and I too. Don't ever forget that. That's how coming up the road was I'm thinking, this world's so nasty out there. You know, I got to work, got to do this. But what a blessed hope. That put a smile on my face. You know, but anyway, verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall sanctify you before their eyes. How's that doing today? For I will take you among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries. Who's that you there? Who's he talking to? Please underline that and put Israel or whatever you want to do. It ain't you, even though it says you. So who is Ezekiel writing to? Context, 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 context. Of all people should tell you about context. I'm not one of them, but I do know what context is. You stay with the context. Out of all the countries, and will bring you unto your own land. That's Isaiah 60, verse 2. By the way, verse 23, he's going to profane. That's born again. Ezekiel 11, 9, John 3, 3, Psalms 22, that all has to do with Israel being born again. Now, how many times have you been told you got to be born again? And he wasn't talking to you then. Verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Who's the you there? And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. What's that going to do? What's he doing with them over there? He's sprinkling something on them.
He's baptizing them.
Yeah, he's cleansing them. A new heart also will I give you. Who? Who's the you? And the new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of the flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and what? Do them. And ye shall dwell in a land that I give your to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the trees. It's going to be a wonderful time. But who's doing this? I remember reading that verse to a guy. We started church downtown, and we was going over what we were talking about. I said, there's going to be a time that God's going to put his word in their hearts and cause them to walk, and they're going to do it. They're going to do it gladly and not joy. He said, I wish that would happen now. Because you know why? He knew what his flesh was. His flesh don't like what this is. That's why Israel failed miserably. That's why you and I fail miserably. But thank God that we're not under a condition with God, that he saved us and he's merciful. And he saved us, and he's not holding that against us. We're talking about dying and rapturing up. Many of us much rather be raptured up than die, but either way, you're going to die. This body is not going to be in heaven. This body is going to die. But so the new covenant, I will. How much time I got left? I'll finish this thought right quick. We ain't going to get through Genesis.
We will eventually.
But look, the new covenant, what we just read, Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36, he says, I will come, I will put my spirit in you, and I will cause you to walk in my statue, and I will cause you to keep my judgments. That's what's happening over here. These people over here, when they get when Jesus Christ comes, he causes them. And they're living in that kingdom. The Jewish people that are saved, they're going to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're going to be coming up. You know, they come up every Sabbath where Jesus Christ is sitting up there, and they've got a worship service going on. They're going to still sacrifice animals as a memorial. But who's Israel's already going to be there. They're going to call it. The nations that's in that millennium kingdom, they're going to start seeing that. What does Isaiah 60 say right quick? Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Isaiah 6. Now, who is Isaiah written to?
Israel.
Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Does that happen yet? That's ages to come, what we're talking about in that new covenant. Gross, you remember anything back over here? Darkness? Who was the light back over there? This little light of mine. Where was that at? Them 10 plagues, I'll say it once, if I don't say it 1,000 times, those 10 plagues was against the 10 gods of Egypt.
Egypt was in darkness, but Israel
was the light down there in Goshen. That's what we're talking about. Gross darkness. You just read it over here. Who's going to be the light? Where are you at?
We're not there.
Amen. Amen. And you got to follow that, his judgment, his statutes and laws, and obey him perfectly. Therefore, they can receive the land. You see that? And the new covenant redeems Israel and puts his spirit in them. And then God does for them what they couldn't do for themselves. He circumcised their heart. He puts the spirit in them and enables them to keep the statutes and obey the voice of the Lord, and therefore to receive the land. That is why it's unconditional. Who's doing this?
God,
the Father. He's gonna do what he says he's gonna do. He's gonna mean what he says and says what he means. And that's why it's very, very important to know. You can write down. Let's one more passage, right quick. Ezekiel 20, since you're there. Let's see. Are you in Isaiah? What are you doing in Isaiah? We're in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 20. Oh, by the way, for some reason I'm in Ezekiel 21. I'm going to read this to you right quick. Ezekiel 21, verses 25, 26, 27. And thou profane wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have no end, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn. There's three times again. It, and it shall be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. Who is he talking about there? Who? Jesus Christ. He's taken that crown. He's taken that glory. He's taken everything that he gave Israel to be that owner. He's going to give it to Jesus Christ. That takes it right over there. So that crown that they're supposed to be God's people, no more. Where did I say go? Ezekiel 20, verse 33. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and a fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out of thy people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, and with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with a fury poured out. And I will bring, who's this I will? It's God. You know who else won't? Well, let me finish this. And I will bring you out of the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I plead with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will plead with you and saith the Lord God, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you unto the bond of what? Who's doing this? God's doing this. Over and over and over and over. You know what Isaiah 14 says. There's five I wills there, right? You know, Isaiah 12. Who is that? He is wanting to be God. And he's probably saying, no, Israel, I will help you. That's what happens over here. That's what happens over here. So you should write down that. That's another passage you want to study along with Deuteronomy passage. Next week we'll come up with 2 Samuel and the Davidic covenant. And God is talking to King David through the prophet Nathan. But anyway, knowing that what God is going to do for Israel, he's already done for you and I. He came, he died, was buried, he rose again. And in doing so, he circumcised you, he baptized you, he placed you into him. You can't get out of it. And what God is doing with it, I posed a little question on the Facebook or dispensational page. Which came first, the prophecy program or the mystery program? Okay. See, he had this known before he had this. Because why? In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And from Genesis 1-2 all the way to Acts chapter 9, where is the focus? What have we been looking at? The earth. And that's prophecy. We've been reading prophecy. What's going to be prophetic over there? What's going to happen over there in ages to come? What has happened? It had nothing to do with us in the body of Christ. I know that might be strange to some ears out there. And it's strange. It was strange to your ears. But what you know what you do? You believe the word. And when you can see that there's a distinction between heaven and earth, mystery, and it's not a mysterious, it's a mystery that was kept secret since the world began. And something made known. And what we're reading about was made known. And I thank God that he kept that a secret. Because now Satan's defeated. Victory, death ain't got nothing on. Where's the sting? The Bible says. There ain't no sting in death. Us are saved. We should be rejoicing. Go ahead. Take me. I'm not saying going out there and play in the interstate like we was told as kids. Go play in the interstate. No, I'm just joking. Get out of the kitchen. No, anyway. But anyway, think about who we are in Christ and think about knowing there's people out there going to die not knowing who they are, but rejoice in the people that do. And you can even share this with the, just like what I want to share with the Jewish guy, Hebrew guy. I wanted to share about Abraham, about Isaac, about Jacob. I want to share about their promise. But our promise is in Christ Jesus that came. God took that diadem away from them and gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.